And we're live. Welcome to the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast presented by Yahoo. My name is Chris Kirkwood. I am your host, screen name Kirk Dees, joined by my co-host, esports savant, million dollar winner, the head honcho over at Occupy Fantasy, Brian Jester. Follow him at Brian Jester FF on Twitter. But what's going on, Jester? How was your week, my man?
What's up, man? Esports guru, the actual esports specialist, I think would be furious to hear you call me that. But it was a pretty decent week. I felt like last week was pretty tilting just in general from a lot of perspectives. I was able to win a little bit of money on Yahoo, but the injuries in the Dallas and Giants game and then the way that Cleveland game exploded ended up being a pretty tilting week.
Oh yeah, no more of a tilting week for me. I was sitting there with all the PMR with Daniel Jones and Saquon, as you know, and I was furious at the Saquon injury. Like when it immediately happened, I was just like, that's on Daniel Jones. You know, like it was just an awful pass, yep. But it was just so fluke that he stepped on the, you know, and I just watched his ankle balloon up. I was so mad. And then Jones, that concussion. I mean, man, that was a brutal concussion. It looked like too, you know.
It goes from a rushing touchdown to out of the game, which was like just a miserable turnaround for you.
And, you know, I don't understand why teams don't just do the Brady sneak. They were right down, like just if you're telling me Daniel Jones can't sneak that in, like straight up there in the middle. You got to pull outside and smash your head first into the defender. I mean, it was crazy. The Giants. I mean, it's my fault for putting two Giants in my lineup. I thought I was like, okay, I'm going to get that. You know, I was like, I'm going to get all the touchdowns.
You got zero of the touchdowns.
Yeah, I got none of the touchdowns. Yeah, so it was tilting week for me. Obviously, I did not do very well. I got smoked. But we are back this week. You know, we're gonna make it back this week, both of us. A big week's coming. I know it is. But let me do a little housekeeping here first. If you aren't playing on Yahoo, I mean, you already know this is a Yahoo show, but this is the place to play this year. We've got the new single game slates, the Monday, Thursday, Sunday nights. Games are on there and Monday Night Football as well for the single game. They're doing an NFL live final this year. But you pretty much in order to get in there, you got to take down first in one of their big tournaments. But they do have, speaking of big tournaments, their feature contest this year is the $1 million baller, which has been going every week. Everybody seems to be coming over and playing it. It's still overlays because Yahoo is actually kicking in no matter what. This week, 150,000 of overlay. So you're guaranteed 150K of overlay in there. So if you aren't signed up, use code GRINDERS25 for a free $25 bonus on your first deposit. I've been playing there for years. It's my main site. Jester's been doing a cool little bankroll challenge over there, you know, grinding out those Yahoo streets. So come on, play with us, use code GRINDERS25, and that's that. All right, we've got 10 games, which is a little nice to have fewer games, at least at first thought. But I am finding building a little bit of a struggle so far, at least at this point in the game on Friday. I mean, we're getting a bunch of injury news too, so injuries are like the key thing here. I mean, every, you know, after last week, now all these new injuries are coming in as well. So today the bomb dropped with Nick Chubb is going to be out. So that's going to make Kareem Hunt lock and load, easy play. But, you know, he's going to have massive ownership, massive. But anyways, we've got 10 games. We only have three games with a north of 50-point total. The lowest of those are Dallas Pats, which is kind of shocking to me because it's in New England with a 51-point total. Then we've got the Chargers who crushed our hopes and dreams last week, or at least your hopes and dreams, Brian. you know, with Mike Williams just going off, but they're playing the Ravens, and it's been Lamar's season. He's just crushing 51.5 point total. And then the big game is everyone's talking about is KC Washington football team, 54.5 point total. These defenses have been atrocious so far. Offensives, obviously the offense of the Chiefs was consistently putting up points, and Washington, Heineke's been playing well. They've got a bunch of weapons. Although the thing that popped up on the injury report today with the hamstring is Terry McLaurin. We'll see if that's a big deal or not. Hopefully we'll get some more word on that by on Saturday night by Schefter. I'm assuming he's going to play, but man, hammy, anytime I hear hamstring, it always scares me.
So, especially on a Friday, right? We saw last week with some Friday injuries pop up. You never like to see that. They do sound a little optimistic, but this week is interesting with, like you said, with 10 games, three pretty clear high total games. The one thing we can actually finally start to consider, I get this question like 7,000 times per season, is do we fade a game because of the weather? And the only thing I'm ever concerned about is wind. And I don't think we'll have too big of an impact this week, except Arizona and Cleveland. And we saw some games last year in Cleveland with really high winds, and that total's dropped a bit. So just keep an eye out for that this weekend.
Yeah. The wind is going to be howling there for sure. And you know, Baker doesn't seem healthy anyway with throwing. So, you know, it is going to downgrade their offense overall without having Chubb, but Hunt is, you know, a top running back, so that shouldn't be that big of a deal. Also, Kyler's been having his shoulder injuries, and he hasn't been running as much. But the main thing here is that the total opened at 54 for that game. It's down to 49.5 right now. So certainly Vegas and a lot of the sharp money is pushing that down for sure. So that'll be interesting to see. Tune into Kevin Roth's report. I'm sure he'll be doing one, you know, on Saturday night. See how it looks for Sunday. All right. Yeah. So overall construction builds, you know, it's there's, you know, with the wide receiver, you know, at running back, it's kind of, there's a ton of plays. We were talking about that pre-show. I mean, we're going to probably sit here and list off a bunch of them for the value plays. There's just a lot of ways you can go. We've got like the must play Kareem Hunt. But that does open up stuff for GPPs for sure, for the $1 million baller. But where I'm struggling to feel good about my overall, at least with my main lineup, because I'm putting some thought in today on that, is that wide receiver. There are value plays, there are decent plays, but all of them scare me to some degree. You know, there's no perfect plays here. So we'll get into that. But yeah, I'm having a tough time building. How about you?
Yeah, I'm in the same spot, receiver especially. I was fine in the middle of the week, right? We was like, oh, we got one great running back play that's underpriced. And then the Damian Williams news, like, oh, we got two great running back plays. And now we have like 12 great running back plays. So it's kind of tough to figure out which ones we want to pare down and actually play. And normally, you know, we talk about it pretty much every week, right? It's like, oh, DJ Moore's mispriced or CeeDee Lamb's mispriced or whoever it is. This week, there's no like major glaring mispricing that receiver. So we actually have to do a little bit of work and actually try to come up with some values this week. So
yeah, now that DJ Moore has come back down to earth after, right, you know, a tough game, you know, I thought it was just an easy lock up 20 fantasy points every week with that guy. But yeah, that was a rough game he had last week. Yep, exactly. So it's tough. So let's start off the QB position, and then we'll take it over to wide receiver, running back, and tight end. We'll list our best Yahoo values, our main lineup preferred plays, and give some stack ideas along the way. All right, at the quarterback position, you know, so first look, I mean, if you're going to sort, you know, I did some work to my projections this morning, and if I'm going to sort by value, there are some value names, and I don't feel very comfortable with most of them, but I'll list off a couple of those guys who at least is popping. And, you know, so it was at the quarterback position, like guys like Baker Mayfield, you know, because he's $20, right? And we do have, you know, have some sample with him of being a decent quarterback. You know, he can run a little bit, but not a huge rusher. But you know, he has been struggling with his shoulder. As we mentioned, the wind in that game, you know, maybe they will be passing a little bit more now that Nick Chubb is out. You know, maybe they'll be utilizing Kareem Hunt a little bit more in the passing game too, as well, as he's going to be the main bell cow in this game. But so he's certainly someone that we should at least talk about a little bit. Justin Fields is looking like a value, but like, how? I don't, you know, like,
did you trust that coaching staff? I don't.
He hasn't hit 9 fantasy points yet.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, so that, I mean, sure, for GPPs, that's a good play, but I mean, it's tough. They're just not using them. They're not throwing. You know, they are without now their top 2 running backs. So maybe they'll be forced to throw it or forced to use Fields' legs a little bit more in this one. Green Bay has been a good match up for opposing rushing. But anyways, and then there's like Carson Wentz at 25. But the first play that I really like that I listed for my value is Taylor Heinicke. Obviously that's the highest total game of the week. KC is 31st in DVOA versus the pass, 31st in DVP versus the quarterback. So they're giving up the second most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. KC is allowed 308 yards passing per game average, and the league high 236 rushing yards to QBs so far this season, although they have faced Hurts, Josh Allen, and Lamar. So obviously those are the three. Only one they haven't really seen is Kyler. There is the potential for some rushing upside there. Heinicke will rush back-to-back rushing games of at least 40 yards. Did have a rushing TD in week 3 versus the Bills. It's an easier way to play this game, right? You don't have to spend the high money on Mahomes. So that's the first guy I got. The second guy I got, and I really like this one, is Joe Burrow at 28. Up to 38 passing attempts last week. So they're increasing it. You know, they were holding them back in a little bit. So they're in the dome. It's his electric weapons that really stands out to me, right? Like, so he's got electric weapons to use. We got Jamar Chase, who's just coming into his own, looks amazing. Higgins, Boyd, Mixon should be a little bit healthier. So those are my like 2 value plays I wrote down. What are your thoughts on those guys? And do you have any other ones?
Yeah, so the initial values you listed were the guys I listed, like if you just go by straight projections, but I don't feel comfortable with them. Baker Mayfield, the wind, whatever, maybe the total dropping. Justin Fields literally hasn't put up more than 10 points in a game. Wentz is fine, is a 10-point favorite. I don't know if they'll need to throw that much, which is something I'm not really interested in playing in DFS. Heinicke, I have listed as my top tournament quarterback, but I guess you can get there if you need the savings in your main lineup. I understand that. I haven't really considered Joe Burrow, but I do like that play. It's really interesting, $28 and pretty high team total. And, you know, like you said, the weapons against Detroit's defense, that makes a ton of sense. To me, you know, if we could just afford the extra $5, and I think we can this week with the running back values, it's just play Lamar at $33, get the rushing passing upside, and that's the main lineup play.
We're just chewing up time here before, you know, just talking about everybody. But like Lamar is going to be massive chalk, and for good reason. Yeah, he's $33. Like you said, just find it. It's a key game that we want to have exposure to. That, you know, there are some holes we can poke in it, but the good side, the Chargers basically dare you to run and they limit long passes, and they've been doing that so far. And, you know, the thing that's really opened up with Lamar has been his long passes, you know, and Mark, you know, Hollywood Brown has been great. He finally, Mark Andrews had a massive game, you know, got a ton of targets last week. I think he had 2 touchdowns. So, you know, he's looking more comfortable, Lamar, in the passing aspect this season, and he's also the best runner, probably would be the best running back on any team in the league. And he's at quarterback. So the Chargers dare you to run. They're 31st in DVOA versus the run. The running backs, they're having a problem with their, you know, since most of their main running backs went down. I mean, none of these guys have stepped up. They all look old. The one that's actually looks the best, they're not using a lot. So anyway, Lamar should have a massive rushing floor in this game. LA Chargers second most fantasy points allowed to the tight end, so that pairs well beautifully with Mark Andrews, especially after that massive game he had last week, and sites haven't really priced him up yet, including Yahoo. Yeah, it just makes a lot of sense. Plus they're going to be Bateman's returning. This Rashad Bateman's coming, first game, supposed to be electric. I mean, what are you expecting from him at all in general?
It's not, I mean, I like him just as a general player. I'm curious to see how much he actually plays in this first game back, but he definitely adds a dimension to this offense that they haven't had before. And, you know, I'm not a big tape guy, but the people I trust to watch the tape, you know, think he's a great player. So I'm excited to see what he adds to the offense. I did want to ask you, because you mentioned Lamar is going to be, you know, amazing, or, you know, super high, very popular. In your main lineups, when you're playing the high stakes stuff, is quarterback a position you're willing, because I know you say every week you try to get different in maybe, you know, one or two, three spots. Is quarterback that position where you're willing to do that, or are you just going to play Lamar and you'll find somewhere else to get different?
Most of the time, the plays are so good that I just like eat the chalk at the quarterback. There are weeks where I do take like a stance when I have like a play that I think is just similarly as good. Like, it would be like if Josh Allen was on the slate, sure. You know, typically like my biggest stances like last season were like games against Lamar. It was like when I would take Mahomes or, and I would be like the only one in at least those like 10 man, like, which is where we're all, there's so many like 10 man entries that you play on Yahoo. Lamar is probably going to be 100% owned, to be honest with you. So if we could get me confident on another play, then yeah, I would definitely think about, you know, being different. But at this point, he's probably going to be my main guy. I mean, it's like, cause there's so much of that is in cash games as well.
Right.
In tournaments, I'll try to potentially take a lower, you know, ownership approach with him. And maybe, you know, and I usually don't pair him that heavily, with his receivers, but you know, maybe I'll do some doubles with him this week and hoping that people aren't doing it on Yahoo. But like so the thing is, it's weird because like I always preach, like I usually don't do like the double stacks on Yahoo, but it's like everybody's coming over now and they're all pushed doing their DK FanDuel double yep. stacks, triple stack. And so I think
I'm raising my hand because I'm doing that as well. So
I know. I mean, and that's the way you play and that's the right way to play, but on Yahoo, it's like it's just a little bit different. And there's just so many like decent plays. Like if you look at the main lineup that won last week, I think I had it pulled up here. Let me pull it up. It was a Herbert to Mike Williams, which Williams was only 4.6% owned. That stack just came out of nowhere. Herbert was 2.7% rostered, right? Like people didn't expect that, and that with that Cleveland game, and that game just went ballistic. But like every other piece besides this, he did the bring back with Hooper, so it was a single stack with a bring back, which is normal. It was the Herbert to Mike Williams with Austin Hooper, who did nothing and it didn't matter. He got 2 points, but that's your 100 grand winner. It had all chalk from there. It had Najee Harris and Alexander Mattison, the two chalkiest running back plays. It had Devontae Adams, 33% owned in there. Jamar Chase, who was relatively popular at 13%. Antonio Brown, which was your call, big call. I was immediately congratulated you because he looked amazing in that game. But he was at 6 or 7% basically. And then the Vikings D, which correlated with Alexander Mattison. So it was a chalky lineup, at least with all like good plays and just that one little loaned single stack and bring back. And that's typically how I play too on Yahoo, and I'll probably continue. But I was thinking I might have to get a little bit different with Lamar, but maybe not. Maybe everyone's going to be, you know, maybe like naked Lamar in tournaments is like being different.
Right. I think like most people don't stack Lamar, right, usually, but this week his two main receivers are actually underpriced on Yahoo. In Marquise and Andrew. So I think we actually might see more than we would normally see on a typical slate where people play Lamar. So that's, I think that's another interesting dynamic that adds to the intrigue.
For sure. So let's talk a little bit about Mahomes. So that's where I would get different, right? Like if like playing Mahomes just makes you feel nice inside. Like at least with me, you don't get that massive rushing upside that you get with a guy like Lamar, but you're going to get passing TDs. Either game script, like this is a passing offense. Clyde is now down, like he's out of the way. He's on the IR right now. Williams will, you know, is more of a passing down back anyway. So I'm not sure that they're gonna, you know, this is a team that pass. This is a pass first offense. The only thing is Tyreek Hill's on the injury report. I don't know how serious. Do you have a take at all on how
Yeah, so Tyreek, he came back to practice today, and beat reporters said that he looked like his normal self. I guess it was just a thigh contusion, which is something I guess we're not really worried about. So I think Tyreek's fine, and we can play him as we normally do.
And I forgot to mention with Baltimore, Sammy Watkins has been ruled out right now. So that just opens the door for Bateman, but makes his primary two targets a little bit even easier plays this week. Mahomes, he's number one in passing touchdowns. It's a great matchup. You know, everyone's talking about how both of these defenses are terrible. Everyone's saying that the Chiefs, you know, they've been decimated with injuries, but they have been just atrocious so far. Washington football team is 29th in DVOA versus the pass, 32nd DVP versus the QB. So they're allowing the most points to opposing QBs. 32nd DVP to wide receiver, so the most points to wide receivers. And Mahomes is number one quarterback fantasy points overall, right? Like this is a guy that's like they haven't been playing well, and they need wins, so they're gonna have to keep cranking up this offense. So if I was to try to go different from Lamar, like Mahomes will be the guy I'm doing, because it's like everyone's gonna be playing Travis Kelce anyway. So maybe it might as well just load up Mahomes with him, but it is an interesting dynamic between him and Lamar for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because that game is just like, it's the battle between two fan bases who can't get over how many defensive mishaps happen every single week. Like Washington, just countless missed assignments and blown coverages. Kansas City, blown coverages every single week. And now they're playing against each other, and it should be a shootout. And I think the total reflects that. So I think Mahomes, if you don't play Lamar, I think Mahomes is probably the next best option and probably the top tournament option overall, just given his upside and if he's going to be less popular than Lamar.
Yeah, let me sort by ownership projection and see who else is any like decent. I mean, Dak is going to get overlooked, but it's going to be tough to play Dak, especially against New England. New England's defense is still pretty good. They, you know, have taken away like the number one best weapons of teams. That's still a thing that Belichick does. The running game is just so good with Pollard and Zeke that, you know, it's tough to want to, you know, play much Dak.
It hurts his volume. That's the killer thing. It's like we see the high totals when we want to stack that game. And it's kind of the reason I was off Dak a little bit last week. It's just, it's so tough when, you know, Zeke and Pollard, like you said, are just ripping off 5, 6, 7, 8 yard runs at will. And he doesn't have to pass. And I don't know if New England's going to be give enough resistance to where, on offense, that they're going to force Dallas to have to pass all the way through the game. So it does make it tough.
You know who might be this week's Justin Herbert?
Who's that?
Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I have him on my list too. I think in the same game as Lamar, Baltimore's defense hasn't looked that great. I think Herbert could run it back again. I really could see that.
And he's projected pretty low ownership, at least at this point. Other guys that'll be low owned, Aaron Rodgers has upside. He's going to be low owned. Kyler, no one's going to play. He's just priced too high. But, you know, we did see that game shoot out, but we do have the win concerns. But, you know, I think that's interesting to get a little bit overweight on any of these guys that have upside that are going to be, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, maybe Kyler, like any of these guys that we know have upside from the past that are just going to be extremely low on this week, at least an overweight stance on. What are your thoughts with Matthew Stafford at all? Like this Giants team has nobody, but looks like Daniel Jones is going to make it back. Right. He's on pace to come back for this week. So all signs are pointing that way from even after that nasty concussion where he's just wobbly legs. You hate seeing that.
Yeah.
But any of those guys could do, like Aaron Rodgers, Cousins,
Stafford was the guy I had actually listed. Stafford, and if you can stomach it going back to Daniel Jones, I think that game should shoot out. Obviously, as we get to running backs, everyone's going to want to play Daryl Henderson from the Rams side, but if you pivot to the passing game, and Cup's super expensive, Woods is probably a value this week, but playing the Rams passing game instead of Henderson I think is a great tournament pivot.
All right, let's take it on over to wide receiver. All right, some guys I wrote down for the value plays. This shows you how gross it kind of feels for me. Michael Pittman, right? Like he's $15. He's a wide receiver one. He finally got in the end zone last week. Last four games, his average 9.8 targets. So just about 10 targets per game, just about 85 yards. he's a wide receiver one. T.Y. Hilton is going to be coming back this week, but I don't expect much out of him at all. But maybe that just opens things up for Michael Pittman a little bit more, but he's someone I had there. Marquise Brown looks too cheap at 17. He's going to be popular just because he correlates so well with Lamar, but he's been a legit number one wide receiver. He's second in receiving touchdowns, and he's dropped so many gimme touchdowns on top of that. So he could very well have been at the top of the list. It's a tough matchup. As we said, is that the Chargers do limit the big plays from receivers, but certainly Brown is capable of beating anybody. Maybe Rashad Bateman. We don't know what to expect with Rashad Bateman returning, how that's going to eat in, but it's pretty easy to pair Lamar with Marquise Brown and or Mark Andrews. Another guy that doesn't feel good, that's at least grades out pretty well, and the more I look into it, the more I am starting to like it, is Brandon Cooks at $17. Had a terrible week in his last game against New England, who shut him down, but that's what they do. They shut down the number one weapon. Indy is different. They've been 30th in DVOA versus the pass, 25th in DVP to wide receivers. He's got 32 targets on the season. Colts secondary is banged up. Xavier Rhodes had the concussion. Rakia Yasin has an ankle issue. So basically they're going to have two guys that are pretty inexperienced and not very good in Anthony Chelsea and Isaiah Rogers on the left and the right. So it just seems like Cooks could have a good game. At first glance, I was like, I don't want to play Cooks, but now I'm like starting to be like, okay, I think I'm going to play Cooks, Cooks.
Everything's lining up for him, right? We saw the huge target volume at the beginning of the season. And then in two games, we have the torrential downpour in Buffalo, and Houston can't do anything on offense. Like you said, last week, New England shut him down, was holding him, double teaming him. So now we get back to a good matchup with all their cornerbacks hurt for a guy who, like you said, could probably set the record in target share this year. So Brandon Cooks was the top guy I had written down as a tournament play, but again, I would feel comfortable with him despite his recent performances in all contest types. And you mentioned Pittman. I think he's the clear value. I wish he didn't score a touchdown on Monday night, because now people are going to want to play him even more. Hollywood is the other guy that's a clear value. Other guys I've wrote down as Yahoo values that, again, it shows how thin this week is, but Hardman at $12 or $13, Robert Woods after his big game, CeeDee Lamb still $19, Cortland Sutton, and then I'll take this to the bankrupt hearing, but Robbie Anderson is $13 again, 100 plus air yards in two of the last 3 weeks, and he has the highest upside of anybody in that range. Just can Darnold finally connect with him?
Yep. So I'd say Hardman and Anderson have the highest upside in those potential, if like Tyreek is banged up at all. I was there. I was looking at that. Cortland Sutton, I wrote down as well. 11 targets last week, 30% target share, 42% of the air yards last week. I mean, it's like their team doesn't really have much. It's not the greatest matchup against the Raiders. But we'll see how the Raiders play with no more John Gruden. I mean, that was a crazy story too. I mean, unbelievable, all that. I mean, it was funny. It was like, they were like, yep, he ran the gamut. He offended every single possible group you could.
Just hit bingo, dude. Immediately.
Hit them all. He hit them all. Oh man, idiot. Anyway, so Cortland Sutton, I also wrote down Robert Woods just because he's like, he fits the mold, right? And he finally came back with his squeaky wheel narrative. He's $21. He had 14 targets last week, 12 catches, 150 receiving yards. Giants, ninth most receptions allowed to wide receivers. Cooper Kupp could be the guy again, probably will be the guy again, but he's $36. Robert Woods could be the guy again, and he's $21, right? So it's like there's definite risk here of him like having a more of a floor game, but things are on the upswing. We knew he wasn't going to be held down every week, like he was in the beginning, and it was the Cooper Kupp show every single week. But he's definitely a good play. It doesn't make me feel comfortable though for my main lineup for sure.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's tough. It's I think just this week we have to look at receivers who are either in high game total environments or correlate well, because unlike the first 5 weeks of the season, probably what you've seen over the last couple of years, there really aren't any standout must play value guys that Yahoo is clearly mispriced, which makes it a different task this week.
Yeah, and even if there are, like Jacoby Myers, they don't come through.
also true.
Almost scored his first touchdown last week.
The dude's never going to score, actually, ever.
Almost did. It was so close. I got tackled at the one. All right. So Jamar Chase is another guy I wrote down too. I mean, the guy's just electric. Obviously, he has the deep ball role in this offense, and he's just electric. He's got loads of upside. He had a 10-target game, you know, highest targets he received all season. You know, in the last game was 9 in the week before that. So he's definitely on the upswing. It was just nice to see him get 159 yards and one touchdown. I'm sure you had plenty of exposure to him last week.
I had a decent amount of Chase. Yeah. And I think he's in another good spot again this week. I mean, they took him in the first round for a reason, and they're actually feeding him the ball and designing plays for him. Unlike, and this is a main slate show, but unlike the Philadelphia Eagles and Devonta Smith.
Yep. So now let's get over to the preferred plays. I wrote down two guys here, and I still don't feel good. And I especially don't feel good about them now. So Terry McLaurin was number one at 27, 32% target share. There's nothing bad to say. The guy is just, he is the number one, you know, option on this team. He's going to get open. He's going to get fed. Problem is now he's on the injury report. What did you say about him too? You're thinking that he's gonna be okay, but
yeah. So if you the beat reporters today said they don't think there's a chance he misses the game, and Ron Rivera said it was purely precautionary. His hamstring tightened up a bit this morning, which I guess is different than just a flat out injury. But again, it's not something we like to see. I agree with you. He's probably one of the top plays at the position. Let's just monitor this weekend to see when any news comes up. If we get any positive reports, then I think it's safe to lock him in.
Then I wrote down Keenan Allen. And so there's a theme here. It's like nobody makes me feel good, right? Like exactly what I said. There's literally, I can poke holes in every single one of these guys that I've said. I think the regression's coming. It's clearly a 1-1A situation. You know, Mike Williams is going to have big weeks. Keenan Allen's going to have big weeks. But the thing that stood out to me is that he's converted just 1 of 10 red zone targets for touchdowns. So seems like, you know, regression should be coming. You know, he gets a couple of touchdowns and, you know, he's going to get his targets even in off games. He gets his. So, you know, he had 9 targets last week when in the Mike Williams show. He had 11 the week before, 13 in the first game, 12 in week 3. So the targets are there. The production hasn't been there, but I think it's coming. So, and I do like the price at $23. However, you know, I could feel stupid and just when I see Mike Williams just bust off for these massive touchdowns again, right? What's Mike Williams? Mike Williams is only 26.
Not that much more expensive, right?
Yeah, but so that's...
I don't know, man. Either one I like, just because, especially if you're playing Lamar, you get that extra correlation in your lineup. But you pointed out the red zone misalignment. Like, those type of numbers regress to the mean over time. And if he's 1 out of 10, he's going to catch some touchdowns sooner rather than later. So the target volume for that price, I agree with you. I didn't have it written down, but the play makes a ton of sense.
Who do you got written down?
For the main plays, I have Pittman, which I probably won't even play. I have Marquise Brown. I have Robbie Anderson, Robert Woods. Like, that's it. That's all, yeah. I had. Like, I'm going to look for correlation probably elsewhere just because there's nobody that really stands out.
Kadarius Toney, maybe, at $16 being the main guy now for the Giants. You know, they just have nobody. But also, it's going to be easy to key in on him for sure, too, as well. So,
and it sounds like Shepard and Slayton might return this week. So I'm not sure how that impacts. But I mean, he's been playing so well. I would find it hard for them to take him off the field, but I think that does add an element of risk to playing Tony.
And you hit Hardman. Any other guys?
No, dude, it's tough this week at receiver.
I keep wanting to play Allen Robinson. I played too much of him last week. Like I said on the show, I convinced myself. It turns out, it's shocking, you need a quarterback that actually passes. to have a big game.
Go figure. That makes it really tough. Well, you can play them with Fields, right? You save all that money, and you can save all those fantasy points too.
Yeah. All right, let's go over to running back. We got a lot of people to talk about here because we like a lot of people and probably going to like a lot of the same people because they're just a lot of good plays. The first guy I wrote down was Daryl Henderson. He's $20. New York Giants are 26th in DVOA versus the run, 21st in DVP to running backs. 90% of the snaps in week four. He didn't have that last week, and Michelle got more, but that's because he got dinged up last week, but he should be fine. He's got rushing TDs in 3 of 4 games played. He's probably my favorite play of the week. And he's, those touchdowns were all in games where they won, and they're a nice favorite against the Giants and should have another winning week. So I think they could lean on Henderson a lot in this game. Let's just hope he stays healthy. The next guy that seemed like the value play of the week, and I was going to be interested to hear your takes on, was Khalil Herbert at $14 now with Williams getting COVID. Had 63% of the snaps when the Bears were leading last week, 100% of 2 minutes drills. So he was already, trending in the right direction, and getting great work. And then all of a sudden now he's the guy, he's the main RB. Packers are 29th in DVOA versus the run. He has, if legit 25 touch upside in this game with Williams out, right? Like, so that's the volume play for cheap. Before we get to the easy play, but the other two guys I wrote down here, Jonathan Taylor at 23, is probably going to keep falling a little bit, lower in ownership as we keep going with getting more value plays that open up, because we're, Kareem Hunt, who we'll get to, is only $19 and has become like the standout play. Any little bit of savings people are going to keep gravitating towards. So it's like Henderson's 20, Herbert's 14. And then we've got Hunt at 19. So that's just going to lower some of the ownership that would have, he seemed like the main play a couple of days ago for sure. But I think his ownership will trend down a little bit, but just had a monster game, right? Like he's the man when he gets fed. 30 fantasy points with the Ravens. He had a massive touchdown through the passing game last week. Texans have allowed 135 rushing yards per game, which is the 7th most. He's gotten 3 receptions in each of his last 2 games, 6 in week 1. So they will, and he's great in the passing game when they do use him. So I have nothing bad to say about him, but those are the guys. And then I wrote down DeAndre Swift, which we can get into in a minute, but I'll just break it down now. He's only $20 as well. So he gives us another option in that range. That's a kind of a game that I think it's going to be good one to target with Cincy. I told you I like Joe Burrow. Swift is the obvious bring back. He's getting the targets, right? He had 74% of the snaps last week. He's running the routes. He's Swift leads all running backs in receptions and receiving yards. So that's what we like to see. He's probably a little bit better of a play on DK. I don't know his price, but he's still priced nice and cheap here on Yahoo. So I like that. Those are my guys.
Yeah, I mean, can we lobby Yahoo to just let us play 6 running backs this week? Because all these guys are much better plays than anybody in their price tier at the wide receiver position. So Hunt obviously is the top play at $19, right? That's the first guy to get into your lineups. Jonathan Taylor, another fantastic play, is a 10-point favorite. Perfect game script for him. Daryl Henderson, like you said, he's too cheap. He's too cheap on all sites, and Yahoo at $20 as a big favorite. Amazing play. Herbert, in NFL DFS, you just don't fade volume at the running back position, especially when they're this cheap, right? You get a guy with that kind of touch upside, you just play Herbert at $14. And like you said, the fact that he was playing in the 2-minute drill last week, ran a decent amount of routes last week too. Even if you're worried about Green Bay winning this game and Chicago not controlling the clock, Herbert's still going to get work no matter whether it comes in the air or on the ground. So that's the type of play you'd love to play. And then you mentioned Swift. And then other volume guys that are a little bit too cheap, Devontae Booker, Chase Edmonds. But to me, it's you play Hunt, one of Henderson and Taylor probably, and then Herbert. And it's as easy as it gets for your main lineup. And then you have those other guys and then some of the studs that you can mix in your tournament lineups.
Yeah. So then there's a lot of other guys too that we haven't touched on, right? So there's Austin Eckler. in that, you know, he very well could have the big game. He's been outstanding so far this season. I mean, you just look at the last 2 weeks, 28 fantasy points in week four against the Raiders. It's a good, great matchup for sure, but he delivered. And then you look last week in that Cleveland game, that shot, you know, was it just came out of nowhere to catch all of us, but he had 30 fantasy points in that game. Had 17 rushing attempts, but did a lot of work in the passing game. Had got five targets, five receptions, 53 yards, a touchdown. He's gonna be overlooked because he's $33. We don't have to worry about McCaffrey this week, so that's good. But we probably should mention Hubbard. I think we looked him up. He was $19. Is that, did I say that correctly? I think
that's what it was. Yeah, $19. Yep. No, 18, yeah. 18 bucks, but same
18.
Thing.
Yeah. Yep. So he's like another guy that's going to get overlooked here with a great role. Josh Jacobs, big game, it might make sense that they lean on him a little more this week with everything going on in this game with Denver. He's only $17. They've been using him in the passing game, which is nice. He hasn't produced a ton, but he's gotten five targets in week five and week four. I liked him last week. He didn't quite work out too well for me, but I'll go right back to him this week in GPPs for sure. What about Darrell Williams on KC?
Yeah, maybe if you're stacking that game, I guess, but on other sites, he's cheaper. I'm not, super thrilled to play him at his price. It's 17 is not bad on Yahoo, but he's another guy that's in that mix. The one guy I'm interested in is Dalvin Cook, and I typically stay away from running backs who have high ankle sprains, but I need something to tell me that he's over that injury. And the fact that he sat out last week's game to rest, got in full practices this week, and is off the injury report a week ahead of their bye when they could have easily rested him through the bye, lets me know he's probably fully healed. And I can't imagine too many people rushing to play him after his recent games.
Oh man, he's only $30. I was expecting to look down and see like 37 or something.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. I'm writing down Cook to make sure I play more of him. Maybe that's like a main lineup play differentiator.
Right. True. Any love for Mixon with, I think P Ryan's still on the COVID list, and he's only $26. And Zach Taylor came out today and said Mixon's expecting to get a full workload on Sunday. So it sounds like he's over his ankle injury as well.
Yeah. And his numbers were down last week, only had 10 rushing attempts, but that was because he was banged up with his ankle sprain. So if he's healthy, this is a great spot for them to lean on him. I mean, nobody gets the kind of touches that he gets. He just hasn't been very efficient with them. So, I mean, that's interesting. I do like Burrow and the passing game because they're starting to let him pass more. And that's what they were when Burrow was healthy. It was a passing offense with all their weapons. But Mixon is going to get a ton of work too. And I mean, it's a great match. It's a great matchup for all in this game against Detroit. Detroit just leaks production everywhere. He's going to get overlooked. I'm going to write him down too as well.
I guess if Damian Harris is out, I haven't seen if he's out or not yet. And I haven't seen the Friday practice report. Ramondre Stevenson's $13. I think it's a little bit thin on this week. And we can monitor Melvin Gordon for Jonte Williams at $18. There's tons of guys to play this week. So, Chris, if you were just rounding out like tiers, right, it would definitely be Hunt, Taylor, Henderson, Herbert in your top tier.
Yeah, that would be my top tier. I might throw Swift in there too. But those are the guys. That's the top tier, and then everyone else is secondary. But like Dalvin Cook could make my top tier. I mean, he's Dalvin Cook. Yep. So if you make me feel better about his injury and if he's full go, because like that, it does make sense that, they rested him last week. Like, why would they bring him back? Right. It does seem like they're trying to play it. Like if he's going to be like 100% good to go, if we're going to put him back in there. And that would make sense. That's goes against what they would do in the past, but maybe they finally smartened up and they gave him that extra week to get right. And he's good to go. Carolina's a good D, decent D, but I think an overrated D too.
Agree.
That's the top tier. And then everyone else just like trying to, like the only reason I was saying Williams for KC. He was just kind of leveraged, just a different way to play that game. Trying to think if anyone else stands out to me. I mean, Aaron Jones is pricey. I guess. Yeah, I don't really have – that's – we've kind of hit on all the people I like.
Yeah, me too. There's a lot to like this week, but I think there's a, you know, clear 4 or 5 and then another 4 or 5 in that next year. And, you know, that's plenty enough for your player pool this week.
Yep. All right, let's take it on over to tight end. For value, our tight end's pretty easy. I wrote down 5 plays. 2 of them are in the value and the other 3 are contending for my main preferred plays. The first value is going to, you know, everyone's talking is Ricky Seals-Jones, but he's only $11 on Yahoo. So he's just basically the minimum priced, gets the good game matchup with that. We want to stack, you know, people from that game in. KC is 29th in DVP to the opposing tight end. So they've been getting gashed by tight ends. It's really though, it's about, he played 99% of the snaps. He played 80%. He ran 80% routes per passing play. So like he's out there running massive. He's wide receiver, you know, wide receiver one type volume for routes right there. And that's all I really need to see. And like, I know, you know, he just has to catch the ball and get fed. And I know he can do that. So $11, I'm on board there. Dalton Schultz, $15, you know, people, it's just tough because there's so many ways that Dallas can go. They can, you know, they can run the ball with Zeke and Pollard. They have, you know, massive, really high end wide receivers. So, you know, but he's getting the targets, right? He got them again now. So it's back-to-back weeks now where he's had massive target games. So, you know, Schultz, 8 targets for 79 yards last week, just didn't find the end zone. He finds the end zone, he has a massive game. So he's in play. But the main play you're going to have to talk me off of, you know, I'm going to have to talk myself really good reason to get off Kelce somehow in my main lineups. And then the other two guys are Mark Andrews and Darren Waller. That's tight end this week, right?
Yeah, that's it. It's do you pay all the way down to Ricky Seals-Jones, great value. We keep talking about this every week and maybe we'll keep talking about it until the playoffs. And we keep saying Dalton Schultz is, it feels like a gross play. And then by the playoffs, he'll have 27 touchdowns. And we're like, he's still gross. He's still such a gross play, but $15 for his target share, it's hard to argue. But then, so the real question is, do you pay up at tight end? Do you pay Kelce, pay Andrews, secure that volume, or do you pay down for Ricky Seals-Jones? And because we have the value of running back, and because Lamar's a little bit underpriced, I think you can pay up at tight end. Yeah, dude, I'm not gonna be the one to talk you off to talk you off Kelce. It's gonna have to be someone else because, you know, I know he let people down last week, but the consistency at his price in this game environment is too good. The real question is, do you save a couple bucks and get the correlation with Mark Andrews? And I think that's the biggest question of the week.
Yeah, it's like, so how do you beat Travis Kelce, right? He's in that the game with the highest total and a game where it should be both passing games, just going back and forth. He hasn't had the best season this season so far, but he's still a top 12 highest scoring player amongst wide receivers and tight ends, right? So there's also room for more. So like everyone's going to play him too. He's also a tight end that can bury you if you don't play him, right? Yes. So like there's so many reasons to just, you know, suck it up and play him. Now in like the baller, definitely there's reasons to get different, but I'd have to take a pretty strong stand to play like Mark Andrews over him in like my main lineup with all in all those 10 man's 20 man stuff. I still might do it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Mark Andrews has a lot going for him. The Chargers are 30th in DVP versus the tight end. He's only $21. They've allowed the most PPR points on a tight end where it's a half PPR site, but it's still good production regardless. Njoku just went off against them last week, 7 and 149 and 1. And he got 13 targets last game, had a monster line, 11, 147, 2 TDs. Sammy Watkins now out. We don't know what to expect from Bateman. And they're probably going to have trouble, you know, with the big long ball to Marquise this week because the Chargers are so good at defending that. So it might just be a feed Mark Andrews game again. So that would be the guy. If I was getting off Kelce, I'll probably play Kelce, but he would be the guy. And then the other one for GPP is Darren Waller. And it's funny. It's like Darren Waller is a main guy, but like this week he's kind of in the GPP zone because he's right in the middle at $24 sandwiched in between. And the production has come down. I mean, he shot out of a cannon the first week in 19 targets. And we were like, okay, if someone's getting 19 targets, we're just going to play this guy at tight end every week. Well, he hasn't really produced since then. He had a decent game 2 weeks ago against the Chargers, who have been bad against the tight end, but had a really bad game, last week, although he did get 8 targets for only 45 yards, didn't find the end zone against Chicago, had a rough one against Miami, had a semi-rough one against Pitt. So it's doesn't make you feel good, but, he's still, even if you take out the week 19 targets that he got for week one, he's still like a top three volume tight end if you like eliminated those guys. So the volume is there for this guy, and we know what he's capable of doing. So he would be the next guy. And I really don't have any interest in anyone else. Hockenson's been banged up. Production's fallen off since because of that. Evan Engram sucks, but like, I'll play some Engram at $13.
I'll give you one guy that I actually like that we haven't mentioned so far. So I agree with you. Ricky Seals-Jones, Schultz, Andrews, Kelsey, Waller, the main considerations. For me, it's Robert Tonyan, who completely overperformed last year in the touchdown department, given his targets. But this year, he swung all the way in the other direction where he's vastly underperforming. And I don't think a lot of people are going to play him. If they go down that low, they're going to play Ricky Seals-Jones. So Tonyan is my guy this week. I think he's going to catch a touchdown finally. And, if you're punting the position, I think he has higher upside than Ricky Seals-Jones, and he needs to capitalize on his opportunity.
All right, I'll write that down. I'll give you all the credit if it helps me, and I'm going to hold you accountable if I lose and blame you.
I'm very used to it, so I'm more than welcome. Sometimes we get them right, like AB last week, but.
Yeah, that was such a good call. Like, I wish it resonated more in me, and I played it more for sure. I had a little bit, but definitely not enough. And as soon as I saw that first play, where that was a sick touchdown. His first
it was a perfect
touchdown.
Throw and perfect run after the catch. It was so amazing.
And he just looked so fast. Like, right, it just looked like, it was the old AB that we were used to with Pitt.
Yep.
I mean, so yeah, I'm on board from now on with him for sure. Awesome call. All right. I think we kind of nailed it. Who's your favorite stack if you have to get a little bit different? I always try to force this. I don't even know.
I think it's Herbert. I really think it is, right? If everyone's going to play Lamar in that game, we still like it as a high total game. They should be passing a ton. We have the passing options to go with him. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, even Austin Eckler. You got the two values to running back with on the Baltimore side, like tons of stacking options, which I always love. So for me, I don't think it's a gross play because we actually like Herbert and we think he's a good player. So he's probably my under the radar stack on Yahoo this week.
Yep. Now the guy I'll choose and he's not that under the radar, but someone I definitely like more than what the field will be on, I think, is Joe Burrow this week against Detroit. I mean, it's not sneaky because it's Detroit defense. Like, this game does have shootout kind of written on all over it, but he's just going to fall behind some of these other guys for sure. So, and I'll probably play it different. I want to play Ja'Marr Chase because he's the most exciting, but I'll probably try to get like T. Higgins or Boyd and try to get a little bit more contrarian with it.
I like it.
So that'll be mine. All right. I think we've got it. Any final words?
No, I think it's just a different weekend. We've gotten to this groove of what to do on Yahoo every single time. And it's a little bit different this week. So I'm excited to be up for the challenge. And I think we're both gonna get back on the horse this week. I'm excited. Like you said at the top of the show, a huge week is coming for one of us or some listeners. And I think what no better week than this week?
Both of us. Let's do it, my man. Let's get him. All right. This has been the RGDFS Tournament Takes podcast, and we'll catch you again next week. Thanks.